In May 1980, about five dozen Tlingit, Haida, and Tsimshian tradition bearers gathered in a Sitka hotel for an elders' conference. The event was hosted by the Sea Alaska Corporation, the Southeast's regional native corporation established under the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. Sea Alaska executives asked elders to express their needs for health care, housing, financial assistance. But the elders requested education for their young people.
When they said educate, they weren't talking about the Western form of education. They were talking about educating their young people with respect to their traditions, their customs, their lifestyle.
David Katzik.
To teach them their history so that their young people would know who they were, where they were from, and what kind of impact their people had on the settlement of the Southeast Alaska Panhandle.
At first, Sea Alaska Corporation awarded $58,000 in scholarships. Then several board members and conference organizer Carlton Smith pressed for the establishment of a separate organization to proceed with the directions from the elders at the Sitka gathering. In 1981, the not-for-profit Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation was formed. In June 1981, David Katzik was hired as the foundation's president.
To work on the heritage and the history and the culture of the Tlingits, Haidas, and Tsimshian people, which to me it was like as if what we were saying was our culture and heritage was put away and that we were going to try to bring that culture and heritage back. And the difficulty with it that I saw with it is the fact that in the history of our people, there has never been an organization who went in to try to teach the culture and the heritage. It was basically done in a traditional fashion where maternal uncles would teach their nephews, and paternal aunts would teach their nieces on the way to be a woman and so forth and so on. And I couldn't see ourselves doing that type of thing, and even up to this point I don't see ourselves doing that. I think it's a responsibility of each individual who's a member of the Tlingit Nation or the Haida Nation or the Tsimshian Nation to take on those responsibilities if they so desire. And I think it's very important that they would take a look at some of the values within the tradition and maintain those values for the benefit of their children and for the benefit of our nations.
David Katzik is from Klukwan, like Judson Brown and Carlton Smith, chairman of the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation Board of Trustees and corporate secretary, respectively. Katzik is a traditional leader of the Shundukedi, or Thunderbird clan, and he feels that his knowledge of Tlingit ways has made his job much easier.
It hasn't been difficult for me to approach, for example, let's say the Kagwantan clan or the Wolf clan. Hasn't made it difficult for me to meet with the Coho clan or the Luknakhadi clan is the name of those clans.
A current foundation project involves all clans.
We received a $30,000 grant from the National Endowment for the Arts to work on traditional music. We've gathered so far approximately 105 songs of the Tlingit people, the Haida people, and Tsimshian people combined equals around 105 songs. We are now beginning to develop clan songbooks. We're gathering the oral history behind the song. In certain instances, we'll be able to identify the composer of the song. We'll be able to identify the clan. We'll be able to identify the purpose for which the song was composed. And we'll be able to provide, hopefully in the future, the songbooks to individuals who are from the specific clans. Basically, tradition in the culture prohibits just anybody from learning the song. It usually is the clan leader who gives the authority to his clan member and says, you know, you need to learn this song for our next potlatch or the next gathering that we're going to have. So we have implemented a program called the Traditional Tribal Songs and Music Program. And we also have a tribal archives, which basically really is going to become one of the most vital tools of the Heritage Foundation. Basically, because I think when we begin to gather as we're gathering the cultural resource material that we value so much, is the fact that we're going to be able to organize it in a fashion that it can be usable. So I could see within the next 5 or 10 or even 15 years probably having one of the best cultural resource material on the Tlingits, Haidas, and Tsimshian people. We don't want to become a Smithsonian type of institute, but we do want to be able to have, for those individuals who are interested in doing research and work, to have the cultural resource material. In addition to the tribal archives program, we had a scholarship program that we managed. That particular program so far in the 2 years' time has given out over $500,000 to individuals who qualify for Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation scholarship. We're not only just focusing on the culture and the heritage of our people. I think basically what we're doing with respect to even the scholarships come from the tradition. Our people have been from their youth been trained to be leaders. And I don't say this with pride. I don't say this with apologetically. I say this with respect to the fact that I am happy to see that our people have looked toward the development of leadership. I have gone to school in Texas. I've gone to school in Cleveland. I've gone to school here in Juneau, but in none of the courses that I've ever taken within those institutions have ever said, you're going to be a leader, and this is what it's going to take to be a leader. It's an important part of our tradition that leadership is cultivated and encouraged. I don't have any say with respect to who receives those scholarship awards. Some receive in the past $5,000 scholarship awards for being an outstanding student. Some have received $5,000 because they were either pursuing their master's or their doctorate's degree. And the average has been anywhere from about $1,500 per student. So this year, I don't know if we're going to be able to contribute, you know, as much as we did in the past because of the economic conditions and so forth. So we have mentioned the tribal songs, the traditional tribal archives, the scholarship program, and the other program that we are beginning to work on, we started last month, is an oral history program where we're going to be interviewing, at least for this year, 10 of the elders and obtaining as much information. We are going to categorize and organize the information by clan and by song. And the one thing that's neat about pulling this thing together is the fact that, for example, songs will have oral history. They will specify a particular period in the history of the clan, and the legends, and everything is put together in a holistic fashion, as opposed to the educational system saying you're going to learn arithmetic, you're going to learn reading, and you're going to learn writing, and the various other tools that are taught to individuals. And ours covers the entire life. For example, there may be a song that relates to a particular incident that related to a story about, for example, let's say a person who in Tlingit mythology or legend became a salmon. That individual came back, as it's told in the history of our people, came back and told our people the migration of the salmon. It told what the salmon people liked. For example, liked a clean smokehouse. It liked the spirit of the salmon, liked a nice environment. So it teaches us environmental type of protection and things of that nature. And so even when I was a young man and we were paddling through our canoe through a place where the salmon would be spawning, I would hear my grandfather and I would hear my father, they would be saying, just please pardon us, we're going through here, we don't want to disturb you, take it easy, you know, be good luck to us, and so forth and so on. And I think personally, there, you know, that type of value is not a bad value. Yet, at the same time, there's a need for, you know, economic development and for making some progress.
That very need for economic development is affecting the Heritage Foundation, which has depended heavily on the for-profit Sea Alaska Corporation for financial support. Last year, the Sea Alaska Corporation lost nearly $28 million. There were heavy losses in the salmon and timber industries. Those losses have forced cutbacks in operations, a strong emphasis on the bottom line in an effort to return to profitability. While Sea Alaska has contributed less to the Heritage Foundation in 1983 than it has in the past, Sea Alaska's chairman and chief executive officer, Byron Malott, hopes to increase funding in the future.
In order for us to have that opportunity, we've got to make the business work, and we've got to make it work in the best, most efficient way possible. And that you can't mix on a day-to-day operating basis the two areas. That the people who attend the business have got to attend to business, because it's a very competitive business world out there. And if you have businessmen who are spending, you know, portions of their time dealing with cultural issues, heritage issues, so forth, when they have other major business responsibilities, someone else out there in the same competitive area having the same kinds of responsibilities but without having to spend time in the special areas that I've just mentioned, those people are going to be cutting our people the ribbons.
Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation's proposed fiscal year 1984 budget is around $400,000, some of that in grants from the National Endowment for the Arts, scholarship funds from the Sea Alaska Corporation, and anticipated funding of more than $250,000 from the state of Alaska for a language program. So far, the elders of the region have been supportive of the Heritage Foundation's efforts, as expressed at a celebration in 1982.
The elders said, in their language, in the English translation of that, it means to let's hold one another's hands in unity to work on preserving our culture and our heritage.
David Katzik, president of the Sea Alaska Heritage Foundation. I'm Karen Michelle McPherson. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.